Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for attending. And now, without further ado, to answer your questions, we welcome Commissioner Carl Benson.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for attending today's press conference. At a time when there are so many uncertainties facing intercollegiate athletics, I thought that this would be a good opportunity to address some of those issues. Who's got the first question?
I got a question. Trent Krim from The Independent.
Really? Trent Krim from The Independent? Are you kidding me? What's your question?
Well, what makes you qualified to be a commissioner?
And alive. That's the best that you can have at a time when we've got all these issues facing us, and that's the best question you have? That's the stupidest question I've ever heard. And really, who let this guy in?
Competitors are always going to be competitors, and in the heat of the moment, sometimes bad things can happen. What we saw happen recently between coaches after the Michigan-Wisconsin basketball game may be rare, but it's not unprecedented, and it could easily happen again and again. Who's responsible to make sure it doesn't happen? This week on Knutson and the Commish, Carl and I are joined by former NCAA football referee Steve Juszczyk, and we look for solutions for a problem that could get worse in the future. What's the role of the game officials? Should post-game handshakes be eliminated? And what's the best way to portray good sportsmanship? We offer up some insights on this week's episode, and it's coming up next, right here on Knutson and the Commish. Stay with us.
For the best selection of autographs and memorabilia from your favorite sports stars past and present, look no further than DenverAutographs.com. Find what you're after on the web or at either of their two Metro Denver locations, Colorado Mills Mall and Flatirons Mall, Broncos, Rockies, Avs, Nuggets, and much more. It's all at DenverAutographs.com.
Learning life skills through baseball, USA Prime is more than just travel baseball. We mentor young athletes in areas like teamwork and skill development. It's about more than winning weekend tournaments. It's about showing young players how to achieve their goals in baseball and beyond. Contact Scott Horman at usaprimecolorado@gmail.com for more information.
Carl, we always talk about there's nothing, no shortage of things to talk about on this program, Knutson and the Commish. Unfortunately, some of them aren't very pretty, and we had an ugly incident happen this week in college basketball where the post-game handshake line, Michigan and Wisconsin, things got kind of heated, out of control. Juwan Howard, Michigan's coach, actually took a swipe at one of the assistant coaches for Wisconsin, was suspended. Quite honestly, I'm surprised this kind of thing doesn't happen more often. It's brought out calls to end the handshake line, and I certainly get that. But right in the heat of the moment, and we've seen it in football where there's the post-game handshake between coaches at midfield is a little terse. I'm surprised we don't see this more often with the heat of the moment kind of thing. They require a 5 or 15 minute cooling off period before the media can talk to players, but they don't require any cooling off players before the opposing coaches, who might not be in the best of frame of mind at that moment, can talk to each other. Are you surprised this kind of thing doesn't happen more often?
Well, I don't know how often it's captured on, you know, ESPN Sports Center.
Right.
There may be, you know, some voices raised and some finger pointing going on in some of those handshake lines that we never see, because they haven't escalated into a full-fledged skirmish or whatever you want to call it. The notion of the handshake in college basketball, it hasn't always been there. It's not a rule. The officials aren't supposed to enforce it. Game management's not supposed to enforce it. I know that there have been times in my career when we knew that there may be some pregame issues between teams. Mm. And I think that they've agreed that they're not going to do it. And they just walk off their separate ways. I think that again, it's not an NCAA rule. It's not a conference. And it could be a conference rule. It's a possibility it could be a conference rule, but it's not in the rule book. Steve, in your, time and all your officials, you guys aren't responsible for, once that whistle blows, you guys are off the course.
Yeah, Steve Juszczyk. Steve Juszczyk joins us. Steve, let me introduce you. A longtime NCAA football referee, well-known and hated by many fan bases, which just means you did your job right. I've talked about this before, Steve. If everybody loves you, you're probably not doing your job right. But you've been in the middle of some of this stuff. But again, like Carl said, when the game's over, you're gone. You're off. You're in the locker room. You don't deal with any of this stuff. But in your opinion, is this handshake line kind of thing a good idea?
Well, I agree with you, Mark. This doesn't surprise me one bit. I go back, basketball and football, NCAA years ago and everything. And you never had this after game handshake and everything. And not only that, the officials responsibility in the years that I worked both football and basketball, changed over the years. Years ago, you just went out and threw the ball up and the game started. Now you're out there. Football, I know more so now because still involved with it a little bit. You got officials out there an hour before the game. Mm-hmm. All the officials. When I was on the field, we had we'd send out two guys half hour before or whatever. I don't know to remember the time frame and everything. Now all eight officials in football have to be on the field. Their responsibility, which I think just my feeling, is ridiculous to have them all out there. Where's the responsibility? Where's the responsibility of the coaches and administration and everything? Where's their responsible? Why has it been forced on officials? And this incident, the basketball incident, like I said, doesn't surprise me one bit, the handshake. Carl, you mentioned, it's not a rule or whatever it might be. I have no idea. But I know it's sportsmanship. But with all the pressure on the coaches now and the players and even more on the players now with this transfer rules and all this other bullshit that's going on, pay and the pressures and everything is just astounding. The handshake and everything, I think in that situation right there, that I blame both coaches. I think the punch was uncalled for, and so was the timeout called.
Why put him in that situation in the first place? The NBA, the coaches just wave at each other, and the guys go their separate ways, and there's no complaints from fans or anybody else about sportsmanship. Carl, doesn't that make more sense?
Well, it would, and again, I think that the NCAA has promoted sportsmanship.
True.
As a whether it's football, basketball, baseball, every sport, there's an emphasis on sportsmanship. True. And again, not knowing the exact time when this post-game handshake evolved on the college basketball scene, it may have even started within an NCAA tournament, and it drifted back into regular season and conference play that the NCAA, was requiring this.
Yeah.
If you remember, the NCAA has protocol on the basketball courts where before the game starts, the coaches are instructed or required to meet at half court and shake hands before the game, right after the two teams have been entered too. So it's this demonstration that, that a handshake is exhibiting good sportsmanship. And yet last week when we saw that the handshake line, the confrontation between the two coaches resulted in a unsporting act that cost one coach five games and $40,000.
Yep.
The other coach some money. A couple players got suspended at a time when wins are pretty critical coming down the road for both teams, and they're both going to be undermanned to some extent. So I can see Mark where the NABC, the National Association of Basketball Coaches, which I believe this is a NABC either requirement or strongly recommended, I could see that this would come up again and perhaps be an issue.
Yeah, other sports don't do this kind of thing. For instance, hockey. You watch professional hockey and they have the handshake line at the end of the series. Everything's over, everything's settled, everything's done, and they have a handshake line. You still wonder, because those guys are going at each other pretty hard on the ice, if somebody's going to take a swipe at somebody, and a slap shot-ish. But baseball, we don't do that. Baseball, you just tip your cap and walk away. I'm not sure why basketball wants to do this. I can understand the pregame thing, Steve, and you guys are out there, like you said, probably unnecessarily so in a lot of cases, but you guys are out there to monitor things, and there's no – guys are into their game plan. They're heated. They're not heated up yet. They're just kind of processing stuff, and you can get a good photo op in the hand and the whole PR thing. But when the game's over – especially Steve, you've worked games where a football game got way out of hand and one team thought the other team was running up the score and maybe they were, and coaches aren't happy. Do you wonder as you're walking off the field, if when those two guys meet at midfield, there might be more than just a handshake exchange?
Well, sure. With it, the heat of the game, yep. Like you said, you're running up the score.
Yep.
And everything.
Which is what Juwan Howard was complaining about.
I just don't understand why, like Carl mentioned, before the game is a good time, Yeah. After the game, pack up and get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do. I hope to hell they don't put another responsibility to the officials, to stay and make sure after the handshake everything's fine, and then let them lead the court.
Yeah, I hope so too on that one, Steve. But here's one that I was in a group talk with some sports fans, and this Michigan-Wisconsin game came up, and this one guy said, how come basketball doesn't have a kneel down opportunity? The game, football has, the last 30 seconds, the game is over. Quarterback takes two or three kneel downs. There's no contact. There's no, is intended to not only save from perhaps injury, but any type of, late hit or something that, this idea on the basketball court that last 30 seconds and you're down by 20 and one coach thinks that, that he wants to use those 20 seconds for, teaching purposes, which is what happened in the Michigan-Wisconsin game. Yep. That, the reason the Wisconsin coach got ticked off is because, Michigan is putting a press on him. And he says, well, if they're going to do that, I'm going to call a timeout, set my team up, let my second stringers, work on how to get the ball in bounds, in a critical situation. And the game's over. I mean, it's absolutely over. Yep. And again, if we go back and what would have rectified, that fight, that skirmish after the game is if, and some coaches will take their team and take them back beyond midline and, call it quits. Other coaches don't. So it's,
Mark, with that situation like that, just the constant fouling and stuff like that that goes on and it extends it and everything. You're right. They ought to put, if you're a 20 point deficit with 30 seconds left or a minute left, fall back. The game is over.
Yeah.
But I don't know why the coaches just like the pressure. They keep putting the pressure. They keep fouling. Yet they're 15 down. It's not the miracle on ice like hockey. Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you guys both this question. These two teams could very well meet up in the Big Ten tournament in a week or so, right? They could face each other again. What would you do as a precautionary measure to mitigate anything bad that could happen in Indianapolis between these teams? Carl, you go first.
You might just, from a conference standpoint,
right.
You say right off the bat, teams, as soon as the game's over, teams can go to the locker rooms. There won't be any handshake.
That doesn't preclude something bad from happening during the game either, right?
No, it isn't. And nobody can. I mean,
right.
the officials know that there's a, a history there.
Yep.
And, they're going to try to, within their role and Steve, you guys, just from a football standpoint, when a game is getting out of hand and when you've got to, pull things back, when one coach is, is ticked off at another coach. And, I remember a time, and I don't know if your brother was on this game. He may have been, Steve, but Fresno State was playing at Hawaii, and Pat Hill and June Jones had a history of not getting along very well. The day before, Fresno State goes to the UH Stadium to do their walkthrough. The stadium is locked up, and Pat Hill is mad as hell that that they drove an hour out there and couldn't get in the stadium, and the officials get to the stadium on game day or game night, and they already know that there is an issue here between these guys. And I remember I walked into the officials room to talk to them about it, and one of the one of the other things that, June Jones did is that late in the day before the game, he flipped his sidelines. He put the Hawaii team on the other side, and it's a late afternoon Hawaii game, and it's 85 degrees. He was trying to get his team out of the sun and put Fresno State in the sun. And now Pat Hill is even redder. And I go in to see the officials, and there's a young, first time guy who had been assigned to the sidelines that Pat Hill would have been on. And he finds out that now he's going to have June Jones in his ear for the rest of the game. And this guy got some experience under fire right there. And there you're separated by 60 yards.
Yeah.
And you know that there is tension in the air.
Yeah, Steve, from an official standpoint, going into this Michigan-Wisconsin situation, what would you do? And do you call the game tighter at the beginning of the game to try to exert your authority?
I definitely think you have to. You got to, stop everything, quick. You don't let anything go. Any personal contact before and after this game, if it does happen, I think should be eliminated. Just cool it down. While the game is going on, or whether it's football or basketball, it's the responsibility of the officials to make sure that nothing serious. And this is where your concentration level for officials, and I preach this now with officials, your concentration level has to be 190%. And watch everything that's going on. Don't let anything escalate whatsoever. And I preach this to my crew over the years and everything. We had games like this that we got to buckle up and don't let anything, don't miss anything. It's quite a bit different right now, though, with replay and everything, with they can pick up and stuff like that. So in my day, we just started replay but the video replay now, can find a lot of this stuff. The communication is so much better. You're connected to each other on the field. So much better than it was in my time.
Steve, did you ever take the two head coaches to midfield, before the start of the second half and say, okay, listen, guys, we're going to put a stop to whatever crap went on during the first half?
Oh, I definitely did. I did it in both sports.
Yeah.
If we had something going on if something happened, in a pregame or something like that, definitely had the coaches many times, even the captains on the field, even to meet them out there in the middle of the field after each play or something like that. But yeah. I definitely had both basketball and football met with coaches and everything at halftime and said, hey guys, we're going to tighten it up. I'm going to tell you right now, we're not going to put up with anything.
Well, sometimes
we're going to call it, whether you like it or not, we're going to call it. We don't want anything to escalate.
Sometimes I think you guys, even the best intentions, though, can backfire because in basketball, for instance, if they gave Juwan Howard a couple technicals and threw him out of the game, that's just going to inflame things, right? That's just going to make the Michigan sideline that much hotter. And it's going to, cause others to think they need to take retribution in some form. So you got to walk a delicate line there, don't you, between trying to inflame things and making sure things are calming down?
Exactly. You can't be, throw somebody out right away. You got to work on it. And you just said that it's a damn fine line, what you're going to do. But during the game, the responsibility is on that crew or that the officials and everything to make sure nothing gets out of hand.
Steve, there's a, and we saw it, and we saw the aftermath, and we heard the commentators, and we heard the fans chime in. Did Juwan Howard take a swing? Did he throw a punch? Is an open hand constitute a punch? And I know that both football rules and basketball rules have language that talks about striking an opponent. And, in both instances, it can result in, in an ejection in some sports. You know, you get ejected for quote fighting, and it's going to roll over to the, you know, to the next game on possibility. And this issue of did he or did he not, you know, take a swing, I think, you know, is even sometimes questionable. If you take a swing and you don't land it, does that constitute, you know, a fight? And those are some of the things that I remember going back and watching video to try to determine, okay, should the fighting rule have been imposed? Was there really, you know, a blow? And again, this notion of whether it's a strike or not, you know, in football, you've got two guys with helmets on and somebody, you know, punches them in the face mask with the palm of his hand, you know, is that a fight? And yet the officials, now that is the official's responsibility, whether to, you know, to impose, you know, impose that rule.
Well, you know, I don't think with the electronic stuff that we have now in football and basketball, I don't think that stuff should ever be missed. With the video replay and all this stuff like that, it's so much better to pick up stuff like that than it was in the past. I think right now, just my feeling, the toughest job that anybody have right now is your replay people. Not so much the field people, the court people, but the video people. Their job is to get everything right. Don't miss anything. They got the toughest job of anybody now.
It's almost they're the safety net, right? They're the safety net. You can make a mistake above you, but the safety net can't make any mistakes, right?
Right, exactly.
You know, Steve, on the basketball side, you know, there's flagrant ones and flagrant twos. And generally, those fouls are always going to the replay, and they're going to go in and look and make that determination whether it's a flagrant one foul or a flagrant two foul. There's been conversation in football as to whether there should be a flagrant one targeting, a flagrant two targeting. And to some extent, you know, it's been you know, kind of evolved, and it's happening, you know, without the designation that, you know, that the replay booth can overturn, you know, the targeting call, or the replay can see it, stop play, and actually call the targeting call. How much should the officials be, you know, taking time to stop the game, to stop the flow of the game, to determine some of these that are so, you know, so fine line between whether it's a flagrant one or a flagrant two? And, you know, I hear coaches say, come on, let's just play on. You know, if it's flagrant, call it and we play on.
Yeah, but if you're going to toss a kid out of a game, you better be damn sure you get it right, right?
Well, you know, but you know, the bottom line, you know, like I said, I'm still involved in this stuff with replay and grading of officials and everything. The bottom line, guys, is what feed are you getting from the truck? The instant feed from the truck, which ones are you getting? Are you getting the best shots or not? Are they giving that to the TV people?
Well, I know those in baseball, people,
their
know
hands
in baseball.
Are tight. Their hands are tight on the feed from the truck.
Yeah, I know in baseball, and college football has got to be way different. I know in baseball, the instant replay people have a lot more feeds than TV does. They have lots of different angles back in New York than they have anywhere else. But college football and college basketball too, I'm sure, is the same. Different arenas have different camera stuff, right? You know, schools might not have much, you know, as much option for that as the bigger places do, the bigger stadiums. So yeah, they are left up to the TV feed at some point. So that would make that job a lot more difficult.
And what are they giving you, and, you know, the time frame and everything?
That makes sense. let me ask you guys this. What role, I mean, for instance, in baseball, and I don't want to keep going back to baseball, but I have to. If a pitcher is tossed out of the game for throwing at somebody, the manager is also tossed out of the game. So in a flagrant situation like Carl's talking about, are we to the point where if something is a flagrant two, Carl, as you described, it is purposeful targeting, there was intent to injure. Do you throw the coach out too if you throw the player out? I mean, is that the way to discipline some of this stuff?
Yeah, no. I think it's a different game. The pitcher and you know the history behind, you know, moving somebody off the plate versus headhunting versus deliberately hitting him in the back after the previous hitter threw his bat on the way to first base or something. Yeah. So those I don't have a problem with that. I think that that to hold a coach accountable at some point in time, if there's a history of a team that and this even goes back, Steve, the pre-targeting call, the play on the defensive backs, the headhunters, that the history that some players had, and that came from coaches. And the conversations that I would have if we saw that a player was establishing this history as a headhunter, I had the conversation with the coach and made it pretty clear that it has become known throughout the league that your number 32, is going after guys. And I've instructed our officials to be on high alert. And so you better stop it before it gets to the game, because that guy's not going to, that player's not going to last, in a game. And the coaches have a responsibility in terms of holding their players accountable. And, probably one of the hardest things that coaches had to become accustomed to was reteaching their players, how not to lead with their head. And it's still, we still don't, it's still not out of the game, and it's still an instinct, and there's still, a very, very difficult, time on the field to determine the whether it's intentional or whether it's just instinct.
Hey, Steve.
Go ahead. I agree with you, Carl, 100%. What you're saying with that, it's a different situation with baseball and football. And for a guy like you that was a commissioner and everything to step in, if it's a consistent thing with a team or player or something like that, to step in and let that coach know.
If you guys were to have your say-so on this, and Steve, I think you've kind of already made your point here on this, but should the official's job extend to after the game to prevent something like this happening? If you're going to continue the handshake, and that's debatable, do the refs need to stay on the floor and make sure – again, things stay calm at that point, or is there, when the whistle final gun goes off, they're done? Carl, what do you think?
Well, there are times when there's that last play of the game that goes to review, whether it's basketball or football, where, the officials, are held onto the field or onto the court. And after the ruling, they determine whether a foul occurred or if the game's over. But if the game is over, those guys are gone.
And you're good with that.
Yeah, I think that you've got game management, you've got security. What I was surprised about the other night after watching the Wisconsin Michigan game is there was security, uniformed security officer right within that, the beginning of the confrontation between the two coaches. And in something else that I thought was interesting that we saw on video is that the players, to begin with, tried to get their coaches away from each other. I thought that the players in the initial confrontation, acted very responsibly and tried to entertain. The security, football coaches have their security guards, taking them off and ushering them on and off the field. Here's one that the post-game handshake between two football coaches.
Yeah.
that, I mean, that's not required. It's kind of protocol.
Right.
You know, and there have been some awkward, you know, some awkward moments.
Yes,
there
no question.
That surprisingly, you know, haven't erupted into brawls.
And,
right. You know,
it's just a matter of time.
Then
though.
Again, if a coach stiffs the guy, you know, then he's lit up on social media about being a jerk. So.
But it's just a matter of time until one of those erupts, isn't it, Steve? Where somebody ran up the score and somebody took exception to a long pass late in the game and something gets physical. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, a matter of time that with the coaches meeting in the middle of the field, whether it's for pros or college and everything, I can see it happening there.
Yep.
I can see somebody throwing a punch there. But as far as the officials are concerned, they got enough responsible before the game, during a game right now. I totally feel that when the game is over, it's over. Get your ass out of the field.
Yeah.
Get out of there.
Well, you know, then you got to count on the security people to do their job better than they did the other day.
Exactly.
Carl, you mentioned the beginning about sportsmanship, about the need to show, to display sportsmanship for TV audience, for the people in the crowd, everything else. How could that be done? I'd like both of you to answer this question. How could that be done without the post-game handshakes, without the show like this? Is there another way to show sportsmanship or good sportsmanship and have everything reflect well, even in a situation that ended like that where there's some bad feelings between the coaches?
You know, the most conferences have the PA announcer at the beginning of both football and basketball games, you know, read a sportsmanship, you know, statement that is, you know, I'm sure no one in the stands, you know, is listening to it. you know, I think that it's, you know, the officials have to maintain control of the game once the game starts, and then it's the coach's responsibility. And we've seen coaches go to the, you know, the basketball. We've seen coaches go to the PA announcer and take his mic and inform the crowd to, you know, to knock it off.
Right.
You know, we've seen coaches get a team in a timeout, and you can tell exactly what he's saying about knock this crap off.
Yep.
And yet, you know, I don't think that we're ever going to, you know, take emotion out of the game. And, you know, something just flashed in front of me saying, you know, when it talks about sportsmanship, you know, we 2 weeks ago at the Phoenix Open and in the 16th hole and the crowd is encouraged to exhibit poor sportsmanship and to throw cans and everything onto the green. We had the Tennessee, you know, Ole Miss game, you know, in Knoxville where the officials were heavily involved and that game was close to being called.
Right.
And this is a question. The officials have the authority when safety, you know, is in jeopardy to declare the game over.
Yep.
And that's a pretty severe and pretty heavy responsibility, you know, on those officials.
Steve, any ideas on how we can, how we can display
sportsmanship? I don't know where I saw it, guys. I don't know where I saw it, what sport or whatever, or, you know, I got grandkids who had gone to Little League games and stuff like that. But I saw where they didn't meet, they got at the free throw line or the 20-yard line and everything, and just saluted each other.
Yeah, tipped your hat. That's what we're doing in high school baseball.
Yeah, you know. You know, something like that would be good. Yeah. But, guys, as far as sportsmanship and everything, we got a tough society going on right now.
That's a good point.
We got a tough society going on right now. Our judicial system and everything as far as I'm concerned, is way below average in ruling on stuff like that.
We're going to let you go. We really appreciate your time and expertise on this. Don't be a stranger. I'll see you in Fort Collins, and we'll stay in touch.
Hopefully, yeah.
There he goes. Steve Juszczyk.
Good talking.
Long time fan favorite for all the teams. You can't be a fan favorite of a referee. Not possible.
That's right, exactly.
Hey, Carl, you got a thumbs up, thumbs down for us?
You know, I think I'm going to pass. I'd hate to give a thumbs down to, you know, to Juwan Howard right now, but and I'd hate to give a thumbs up to, you know, to somebody who, I mean, it's after this conversation, probably not.
It's frustrating. I mean, yeah. Hey, we appreciate it. We appreciate both you guys. We will be back next week with a new edition of Knutson and the Commish. We look forward to you joining us, and thanks for listening.